Okay, hi friends. I'm on my trampoline here, ready to begin with Rays and Initiations webinar commentary number 78. We're on page 597. And we are, we're talking about the effects of this fifth ray energy and preparation for transfiguration, at least for the mass of human beings, and how far into the future it will be and how impractical it is to discuss it in relation to humanity itself. There has to be the height of the new civilization before this is possible. But for a number of senior disciples or relatively advanced disciples, it will be possible. So we're learning something about that, and many are those in the Alice Bailey studies who are reaching towards an understanding of that initiation. We've talked about the natural telepathic impressibility of the fifth ray, and how the Ajna Center, ruled by Venus, which in its soul is the A distributor of the fifth ray, is involved in that telepathy. This fifth ray energy, although debased and used now in a very materialistic manner and to encourage aggression and greed and other personality satisfactions by means of technology, does have a higher side to it. It blends well with the energy of love. DK tells us to connect the second ray and the fifth ray, which is a natural connection for the solar angels who distribute the energy of Buddhi through the fifth ray processes, because they work on the higher mental plane. They also work on the Buddhic plane as well. So two and five do go together. Just, you know, looking at a couple of things we've been talking about, the definition, clarification, concretization of ideologies has come in under the fifth ray, and in general, it operates under what we call the law of cleavages. But interestingly enough, it's not only a question of cleavage, because the fifth ray word of power suggests union, and the way that the fifth ray can be used to unite. So the word of power for the souls on the fifth ray, three minds unite. Not three minds are distinct and separate from each other forever. And then we will have one field of mental consciousness under the fifth ray. It's the most powerful ray at this time. It is given and expressed by the most luminous of the ray lords, the fifth ray lord, in many ways the most advanced of the ray lords, just the way Venus, for its age and origin, is the most advanced of the planets, or at least the most unfolded of the planetary logoi. There are other greater entities among the planetary logoi than Venus, but Venus, like the Christ, is rapidly unfolded, most rapidly. It's since 1900 that this ray has been very powerful, although it did come in 1775, and it may have, as is theorized by the rayologist Stephen Pugh, a 350-year cycle. So, in other words, we would basically add 175 to 1775. We get 1875 and 1925 And let's see, 100 and how would that go? 175 and 1925, 1950. So interestingly enough, around 1950, the fifth ray was withdrawn by Shambhala as an independent ray and is now functioning under the third ray umbrella in general, but not independently because of the danger to humanity of too much knowledge too fast. It's such an advanced ray process that humanity was, in a way, learning more than it should, given its moral development. All right. I think that gives a little bit of background. Basically, those who are guilty of financial greed and aggression, they have used technology for those purposes, to gain financial power and to gain weapon supremacy over those against whom they have aggressive intentions. Okay. We talked a little bit about Russia as well, but we are in the Aryan root race, and it is the fifth root race, and we're in the fifth sub-race of that fifth root race, and as a result, the fifth ray is very powerful at this time, given also that it is the personality ray of humanity at this time. It won't always be the case. So it contributes to a materialistic and limited point of view. A materialistic perception, and we have to refine the uses of the fifth ray and apply them to investigations of subtler matters. This is already beginning to happen. It's happening in the front ranks of nuclear physics, and in the Theosophical Society, the fifth ray was used investigatively by Leadbeater and Besant. They wrote occult chemistry, and their investigations into the various planes using the fifth ray are very progressive and point the way to the future. So now we will go on, a little summary there. We will go on to number 78, and we're continuing to look at how the fifth ray functions. The creation, and I should add, the over-creation of the millions of material things which men everywhere regard as essential to their well-being, is also the result of the creative activity of the fifth ray consciousness. There is the ability to concretize, to precipitate things. And just because we can concretize our ideas or our thoughts into many things does not mean we should, because it overcomplicates life and we fail to see the forest or the trees. And we develop such a complicated and yet superficial state of mind that the essential matters are no longer visible to us, or at least are blocked by our complexity. This is part of illusion, an over-complicated mind which divides and fragments the field of consciousness, so the unity of things are not seen. But later, of course, the fifth ray can come in and reveal the unity. This is, of course, as it demonstrates on the physical plane. That's the fifth ray is going to demonstrate on all the planes of the dense physical body of the planetary and solar logos. When it demonstrates upon the mental plane, we then talk of ideas, concepts, philosophies, and ideologies. All of these are condensations, precipitations, separations of various approaches, definitions. So when the fifth ray demonstrates upon the mental plane, we have talk of ideas, although they're really thoughts. The ideas come from still higher level. concepts we formulate verbally, what we may have received as a higher thought or even an intuition, philosophies, outlooks on life and worldviews, we might say. But whether they will be separative or inclusive, that depends. Worldview, always in philosophy, we take in the whole. And I guess philosophy is one of those important words. So P-H-I-L, Phil, how are you? Phil, philosophy. Okay, there it is. Going on. When it demonstrates on the astral plane, we are aware of the religious impulse of mysticism and of emotional and conditioning desires. Now that's kind of a, I think there was only one person or only one example of a ray chart with a fifth ray astral body. Although we're told by Alice Bailey at one point that any ray can be focused in any vehicle, but there is a standard type of focusing, which is always the same for anybody who is not yet at least an aspirant or a disciple. After that, of course, anything may be possible, but I would say it's a fairly rare focusing of the fifth ray in the astral body, perhaps giving a great deal of reserve and objectivity to that vehicle's impulses and, you know, perhaps curtailing the desire nature. This is interesting to me that it can demonstrate on the astral plane, and I would not think normally that the religious impulse of mysticism and the emotional conditioning desires would be the result of the fifth ray. But let's just say, I would say, when directed towards specific ideologies and world views. In other words, the fifth ray discriminates one object of desire from another. The fifth ray discriminates one object of desire from another. So, you know, next time I talk to the Tibetan here, I'm going to ask him what he means by the fifth ray operating on the astral plane. I can see, however, that this would lead to the many cleavages within the religious field and the many sects, and certainly have them, I mean, hundreds of sects and splinter groups in the religious field. So desire becomes very particularized and directed towards very specific ends. Desire, or let's call it religious desire and aspiration, becomes directed towards very specific ends and is not inclusive, I suppose. All these aspects are present in the consciousness of men everywhere today. The many, many things, all of the ideologies, concepts, philosophies, etc., and particularized desires, which are separative. So particularized desires and aspirations can be very separative. Okay, so all these aspects caused by the fifth ray are present in the consciousness of men everywhere today. Everything is crystallizing in human consciousness. This is, along with the first ray, ray of crystallization. And as this takes place, and this takes place in order to make man aware of where he stands upon the ladder of evolution and what is wrong and what is right. So we need clear definitions to learn what is wrong and right. If everything is all mixed together, blended and confused, and we can't tell one thing from another, we don't know what is wrong and right. So, you know, demagogues have understood how to confuse the mind of the public and keep clear thought away from them by exciting their emotional nature, which then overcomes their power to think. Demagogues use kama manas. They don't use really rational thought. All this is due again to the influence of the fifth ray. He seems to be spending quite a long time on this fifth ray. This will begin to transform human living and human desires and also human affairs and attitudes. And we might say through the process of discrimination, and will lead eventually in the middle of the sixth root race. Yeah, that's exactly where I thought it would be, you know, when, and this will mean when the new civilization is at its height. He hinted at that before, but he says in the middle of the sixth root race. And remember, this is 5 million years hence, because the sixth root race, we are told at some point, does have an endurance of 10 million years. Longer, it seems, than the fifth root race. It's kind of a curve there, where the Lemurian is longer than the Atlantean longer than the Aryan. But then again, the sixth root race longer than the Aryan, and the seventh root race perhaps longer than the sixth root race. Maybe the early ones, Adamic and Hyperborean root races lasted maybe even longer. So they are not all of equal duration, but usually we don't count those first two because they were non-individualized races, and the beings affected were animal man and not yet individualized man. So that's really important to realize how very far ahead is the transfiguration for the mass of human beings. And if you read in Treatise on Cosmic Fire, it even tells us that some of the latter groups who individualized on the moon chain, I think there were five and the two last ones, won't even be on the path until the next round. So we're really talking about millions of years. Progress is slow, but is being speeded up to make up for the moon chain failure. I have a feeling that that is what the Solar Logos demands if his entire schedule is to come in the way it should, given that there is retardation on the planet Earth due to some major failures. Okay, so to the great transfiguration initiation, in which the reality that lies behind the human phenomena will stand revealed, and I want to say in the light supernal. And Capricorn will be very important, but the age of Capricorn will not be the time when the majority of human beings take the transfiguration. It will increase the numbers of disciples who can do so. So, you know, there's a great cleansing process occurring during the age of Aquarius. It's a healing sign. It is related to the astral body, even though it's a mental sign. It has a lot of the highs and lows, exaltations and depressions that are common to the astral body, and it will see to the purification of the astral body, and thus many, but we don't know the numbers, many thousands will take during the age of Aquarius the second initiation. And then for those who are ready in the age of Capricorn, the third initiation will be increasingly possible. But the taking of the transfiguration by the mass of men, the new civilization has to be at its height, and basically DK is saying in the middle of the 10 million year sixth root race. And that's a long time, as we count time anyway. So the masters, they know the cycles. They have what we call all knowledge. They know the cycles. And we do not yet know the cycles. Maybe when we are at their stage, the fifth initiation, and we can, let's see, how would I put this? I would go over here to this chart, and I would say that the master has a focus upon the Atman plane, and all knowledge is found here on the third level of the Atmic plane, the spiritual plane, and it is five from below. So it has a connection with the fifth initiation, and, you know, looking back here at this chart which Keith created, we do have all knowledge at the very top there on the third level of the Atmic plane. So the master has this. It's not all knowledge in the universe. Of course, it cannot be that. But with respect to our planetary process and some of the things that are going on in the solar system, it is vast and extensive knowledge. And there's a mastery of the science of cycles. And remember how the science of cycles is connected to the third ray. And if we come down, we see that all knowledge is found on the third sub-level of the Atmic plane. The Atmic plane being itself the third level. If this chart were to go on, we'd have the logoic at the top, monadic second, and then the spiritual or Atmic plane as third. So the three and five are really combining quite a bit here in that fifth initiation. And as I've pointed out, that fifth initiation is also related to the third ray. He tells us that, interestingly enough, in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and I reviewed that a little bit in one of the earlier programs. Let us now consider the effect of this ray energy upon the life of the individual as he faces the third initiation. I mean, DK is doing it both ways, isn't he? He's showing us the larger picture. DK is showing us the relation of the ray to humanity as a whole and then to the individual. And we might say, well, the individual is more important to us, but really, as we climb in this upon this ladder of initiation, it is always the group which must become of greater import to us than our own individual condition, though our individual condition is necessary to make us valuable co-workers in helping the group achieve its possibilities. So neither one can be ignored. This third initiation is, as earlier said many times, the first initiation from the angle of hierarchy. Why, you know, it is the first solar initiation. And the hierarchy is solar. And relates to the second ray. It is the one in which the spiritual man demonstrates his complete control of the personality. Well, this is sometimes stated, and let's see, there is a place where DK talks about overcoming the ancient authority of the threefold personality. I wonder if I can find that. It's a very good quote, and complete control of the personality. Well, there's a lot of people claiming the third degree that obviously don't have this complete control. They can think ahead, they can wish, they can pretend, they can claim, but we will know, all of us, as we see it demonstrated, what the complete control of the personality looks like. So if we were to go over here and just see ancient authority, personality, maybe we'll find it. Let's see. Okay, there it is. Initiation three, transfiguration, freedom from the ancient authority of the threefold personality marks a climaxing moment in the history of all initiates. And DK tells us, that's on page 686, that it doesn't mean that the personality may not act up, but it is allowed to present no real insuperable limitation. So this is R and I, page 686. Okay, and there we go. Freedom from the ancient authority of the threefold personality. See, in other words, the inner man is not compelled by the threefold personality. It cannot overcome him. We can say this. Whoop, you don't want that. Okay, what do we want? We want one of these red brackets. We want to say that this threefold personality is no longer in control, and it cannot stop or sidetrack the efforts of the third degree initiate. Let's see, third degree I, third degree initiate. Okay, TDI. That's what it is. Feel like I'm making a new language here. Third degree initiate. It cannot stop, really stop, or okay, third degree initiate. I see. This is it. TDIT. That's what it is. So TDIT is the third degree initiate. Though it is not completely subdued. Remember that there is 75% atomic matter in the vehicles by the time the third initiation is taken, but not 100%. So there still is the possibility of rebellion. Well, you might look at the rich young man who went sadly away when the Christ asked him, take all you have, sell it, and give the money to the poor and follow me. What was he afraid of giving up? Was it his personality? In many ways, he had conquered his personality, but I suppose in this particular case, he was afraid of giving up his causal body and all the richness that it represented because of the many, many experiences that he'd had over millions of years. So there at the third degree, we're mostly concerned with the causal body, the egoic lotus, but there still are vestiges of personality influence, which cannot now overcome the inner man because he has been solarized, we might say. He has been solarized. Now, let's just make sure that, yep, it's all still working. All right. Moving on. The physical body has been controlled through the medium of the physical disciplines. Okay, you know how the five D's work: physical discipline, emotional dispassion, mental discrimination, personal decentralization, and overall soul detachment. The five D's, I call them. So the physical body has been controlled through the medium of the physical disciplines. The emotional nature has been reorganized and made receptive to spiritual impression coming from the plane of pure reason. So, let's just say glamour is dissipated and Buddhi has reorganized the astral body. The astral body, emotional nature, has been rendered receptive to spiritual impression. coming from the plane of pure reason, the Buddhic plane, through the transforming processes of the mind, or the fifth principle. So now, you know, Venus, the energy of Venus, is very much involved in this. It is related to the emotional nature because, well, it in one way it rules kama manas, but in another way it rules a higher form of heart love, and it's in the higher reaches of Venus we have the sixth ray and the second ray, not even so much the fifth ray of its soul. So it is connected with the transformation and beautification of the astral body. We're told that the planetary logos of Venus is already working on the Buddhic subplane of the astral plane, or the sixth, where the principle of Buddha is found, and that our planetary logos is still struggling, working towards the fifth. It's on the fourth, whereas Venus is establishing itself on the sixth subplane, in both cases counting from below upward. So in this connection, the mind has acted as an organizer of the astral reaction and as a dispeller of glamour. The fifth ray has been needed here and comes via Venus. The disciple is now focused in his everyday consciousness upon the mental plane, and the triangular relation to the three aspects of the mind upon this plane is now dominant. So what are these three aspects? You know, concrete mind, sun of mind, and abstract mind. In the next initiation, the renunciation, this relationship becomes a dual one instead of a triangular one through the destruction of the soul vehicle, which is no longer needed. Soul fusion with the personality is now completed. So at the renunciation, we move from three to two through the destruction of the egoic lotus. Okay. So really, you know, how is the astral body transformed? The enlightened mind must get into the act. It must see and organize and demand purification of certain responses and encourage the expression of others. Let's just say, in general, the enlightened mind must be involved in the purification of the astral body. Okay. Enlightened. And sometimes, you know, we call that third initiation the enlightenment, the illumination, the satori. It depends on the tradition in which we are working. But, you know, reality at last begins to be seen, unveiled by the veils of illusion and glamour, and of course Maya has been overcome before that in its more particular sense related to the etheric body. During the initiatory process preceding the third initiation, the mind works in a new manner. Now, is this after the temptations in the desert? When in a way the mind is totally dedicated to the Syrian system of initiation, having overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's see. Transmutation is involved. Okay. So, you know, if we feel somehow we are working towards the third degree, we look at how our mind is working. Is it working in a new way? Certainly it is a more enlightened mind. At the second degree, we've achieved spiritual intelligence and some mental illumination, and we're working towards an illumination within an aspect of the supernal light upon the mountaintop. Its transmuting work with the physical body has been accomplished. So, you know, mind is involved in all these improvements in the various, various vehicles. Its transforming work with the emotional nature has been successful. Now, look at how he deals with these words. Transmutation for physical, transformation for emotional. So let's say we choose our emotional reactions and we refine our desires and aspirations and make them goal fit, in the words of Agni Yoga. So, you know, we can't do this without really self-examination. We must engage in strenuous psychological self-examination. And now its transfiguring work with the personality as a whole is carried forward. Okay, it's the mind at work and with the personality as a whole, and transfiguring work, let's just say, moving from concrete forms to formless forms and seeing the causes of the lower forms in the higher archetypal forms. Transfiguring work is done with the whole personality as a whole, it's carried forward, making the initiation of the transfiguration possible. So let's just, you know, summarize this by saying the mind is the transfiguring agent. And obviously it has to be intelligent mind, an illumined mind, a broad and inclusive mind. Let's just say the mind must be much affected by the energy of Venus. Much affected by the energy of Venus. It is of value to the student to consider these three activities of the mind. The transmuting agent in the first case is the lower or concrete mind. The transforming agent is the soul, whilst the transfiguring agent is the spiritual triad working through the higher or abstract mind. Okay, this is a very important summary statement. So when you look for transmutation, transformation, transfiguration, three aspects of the mind are involved in three different processes. So let's just put that down. Three aspects of the mind, concrete mind, a son of mind, S-O-M. Okay, I had that before, S-O-M. And we'll say son of mind, right? And abstract mind are involved in three different processes, and we'll call them transmutation, transformation, and transfiguration. Always have to go back. Okay, get my letters in the proper place. Transformation. All right. Have we got it? Transformation. Formation. There we go. Okay. So, you know, pure thought, that really has impressed me. Pure thought is involved with transfiguration. The pure thought of the abstract mind is involved with transfiguration. And the great patterns behind concrete things are seen. Okay, so the great patterns behind concretions are seen. You will note here, or you will note here, note the wonderful synthesis of the spiritual work. When this work is concluded, you have the initiation of the third degree made possible. Well, DK is so good at pointing out these beautiful patterns, and we have to take note of them and, stock them in our memory, and then they will emerge when they are needed and when links have to be made and understanding of a larger picture has to be assimilated. It should be remembered that when I use the word new, I mean that which is new in consciousness. It's always been there, of course. Revelation is always there. A new revelation is one that the present consciousness accepts and realizes as new, but it is already pre-existing. That which is new in consciousness, with the basic synthesis and fundamental relationship always exists in factual recognition, but is only progressively realized by the evolving spiritual man. So we have here a particular definition of the word new. Okay, new in consciousness. Okay, so all of us are involved, it's rather sequential, but it also is overlapping in transmutation, transformation, and transfiguration. And of course, look, you know, it's obvious, since transfiguration requires the abstract mind, that mind must be reached by the Antikarana. So Antikarana building is a necessary approach to the process of the third initiation. All right. It is well nigh impossible to differentiate the results of fifth ray energy in the various aspects of the personality for the reason that the initiate is now functioning as a soul-infused personality, and therefore the three aspects of that personality are nothing more or less than agents of the soul and thus progressively responsive to the inflow of triadal energy. So there is a fusion and a fluidity which resists the earlier type of fifth ray differentiation. See, we're told that the mental field eventually becomes like one seamless field, making possible all of the different faculties of mind, concrete, son of mind, unitive, abstract in terms of the appreciation of the pure patterns behind concretions. All these things are fused into one fluid mental field. Maybe the fourth ray mind helps somewhat with that kind of fusion. So we're not looking to break things up and see their particularizations. We're now talking about the process of fusion and how to render each vehicle the agent of the soul. How to render each person. How to render each EACH personality vehicle the agent of the soul. Now, when you think of your own vehicles, is every vehicle improved to the point through either transmutation, transformation, or transfiguration, that it really is infused by the soul and is the agent of the soul. You know, let everyone examine and judge the case accordingly. It might therefore be said that as a result of the transfiguration initiation, the culminating point of strictly human unfoldment, the three types of energy are expressed through the spiritual triad, which are expressed with the spiritual triad, man begins, well, shouldn't there be an S? Man begins, only begins to flow through the reflection of itself. No, the three types of energy which are expressed through the spiritual triad begins, man, what's man doing there? Only begins to flow through the reflection of itself in the three worlds. And that is, the personality is the reflection of the spiritual triad. Okay. So, in other words, triadal expression. Expression really begins with the third degree. So he's going to state the following, which are expressed through the spiritual triad. Aha. They were correct. Begin. Only begin, not begins, to flow through the reflection of itself in the three worlds. The three begin. Okay, and the Antikaran is built sufficiently for this to occur, and what is the result? A great impersonal and planetary view comes into focus, and more impersonality. So let's see what he says. Let me state this as follows. Number one, the directing energy of the higher mind as a result of the transfiguration initiation via the Antikarana is thrown into the brain, higher mind and brain. Therefore, the man upon the physical plane is guided, directed, and controlled by group purpose and hierarchical plan, which is understood by the abstract mind. So, from abstract mind, the lowest aspect of the spiritual triad into the brain. I'll read it again. The directing energy of the higher mind as a result of the transfiguration initiation and via the Antikarana. So it's not just talking about the second subplane of the mental plane. We're talking about the abstract mind on the first subplane, is thrown into the brain. Therefore, you know, we somehow begin to appreciate in our physical brain these higher states and possibilities, the plan, group purpose, you know, all to a certain extent. They become realities to us. The abstract mind conveys this. The abstract mind conveys the group purpose and the divine plan to the brain. So it's in our waking consciousness. Okay. What else? The illuminating energy. So this is directing, you know, and it has in it, with respect to the three minds, it is the first ray aspect. With respect to the three minds, the abstract mind is the first ray aspect, whereas the son of mind is the second ray aspect, and the concrete mind, the third ray aspect, or the third aspect. Okay, what else? The illuminating energy of pure reason, where we really see what is, you know, emanating from the Buddhic plane, pours down into the clarified and organized body of sensitive response, which is all that remains of what has been called the astral body. Now, the clarified and organized body of sensitive response, which is all that remains of the astral body after the third initiation. So let's just say, not valid number, thank you. Okay, so what does the something strange is going on here. I just better get a bracket. Okay, sorry for the delay. I'm not the perfect typist. So I will just say, what remains of the astral body after the third degree? Okay, clarified body, organized, capable of sensitive response, which is all that remains of the astral body, and buddhi will pour into it. There's a special connection between that fourth cosmic subplane and the sixth cosmic subplane, the buddhic plane and the astral plane. This produces complete freedom from glamour, which we don't expect before this time, and the creation of a limpid pool of such reasonable response, pure reason, to the love of divine relationship, that the initiate becomes a sensitive revealer of that love, and I would say through the astral body through which buddhi pours. So from the abstract mind into the brain, from the buddhic plane into the astral body, and then what about Atma? The dynamic energy of the atmic plane, the plane of spiritual will, the highest aspect of the spiritual triad, and let's remember the plane of spiritual will. Oh, that's not right. How about SPW? That will maybe do it. SPW. We'll call this spiritual will. So pours into the mind and begins slowly to reveal the will to good, which is known on the atmic plane, which is essentially the will of God. Let's just say not in completion, but enough to really redirect the life. So we see how it goes, brain, astral, body, mind. And then that's related to abstract mind, buddhi, and the spiritual will. All right, so all of this is transpiring for the third degree initiate. It might be said that as a result of the transfiguration initiation, the culminating point is strictly human unfoldment, but in a way, you know, remember this phrase, they are no longer men as are the masters. So even a master is still a human being, and, you know, the question is the third degree the culminating point, or is the fifth degree the culminating point? I think there's a higher culmination at the fifth degree, but there is a culmination on the mountain top at the third degree. The three types of energy, which are expressed through the spiritual triad, only begin to flow through the reflection of itself in the three worlds at mastership. There is not just a beginning, but a completion of the process. Okay. So we went back just a little bit. So higher mind to brain, the energy of pure reason on the buddhic plane to the astral body, and the energy of the spiritual will from the atmic plane to the mind. Well, certainly the Buddha had this. You know, it is the nirvanic plane, the plane of spiritual will, the atmic plane, the nirvanic plane. He had understood this. He had understood the mind that is the law, and which then descends into our more normal mind, from which it can be expressed and rendered manifest. Behind these three differentiations, which are all of them expressions or aspects of the divine or the universal mind, the initiate dimly senses and becomes consciously aware of what has been called the monad or the life. Well, there's many aspects to the monad, but at the core of it is the life, which is being. So all of these three aspects, let's just say the abstract mind, transcendental mind, and the nirvanic mind of the atmic plane are all aspects of the universal mind as it manifests on the cosmic physical plane. This is subtly revealed in the transfiguration initiation of the Master Jesus, who reenacted all the five human initiations for the benefit of humanity. In this case, this is strange. He had not yet achieved the fifth initiation, but only did so later, working through Apollonius of Tyana. So I would say Master Jesus and the Christ. And here, D.K. Seems to call, call the fifth initiation the resurrection, because Jesus was resurrected. And maybe, that was part of an anticipation of the fifth initiation to come, which is really the revelation of divine purpose. He certainly, he reenacted the third initiation. And, well, we have to say, while Jesus reenacted the third initiation, if the Christ was involved, it could be the reenact of the fifth also. Because the Christ is the head of the hierarchy ever since around 500 AD, was a fifth degree initiate taking the sixth degree. So we have to see how the Christ Jesus story plays out, the golden threads, the silver threads, as DK tells us. Strictly speaking, we would have to look into this statement because Jesus had not achieved the fifth initiation, so how could he reenact it? Only later did he achieve it, so maybe the Christ had to be involved in what might look like a reenactment. Like when, let's just say when Jesus broke through into a type of resurrection, which raised him out of the grave and produced perhaps the evidence that we call the Shroud of Turin, maybe the Christ helped him do that. In this dramatic picturing of the third initiation, the three disciples, or three vehicles of the personality, prostrate themselves upon the ground, and the Master himself, the glorified personality, is transfigured before them. Now, we might say that Jesus could have reenacted this third degree, because as Joshua, the high priest, he had taken it. But the Christ was taking over the body of Jesus very often. So who really offered the reenactment of the third degree? At this climaxing point, the prostrated disciples hear what is called the voice of the Father speaking to the transfigured Jesus. Well, maybe DK means exactly what he says. Maybe DK means exactly what he says here, and that it was Jesus. He tells us that the gold and silver threads of the Christ Jesus story really have to be disentangled, so we know who was doing what in this cooperative experience, venture between the head of the hierarchy, the Christ, and his disciple, the third degree initiate, Jesus, on the verge of taking the fourth degree. Very interesting, this type of cooperation, and it doesn't happen even minimally until the sixth petal of the egoic lotus is unfolded. Then an earlier type of cooperation might occur. Jesus was in process of losing his causal body. You know, you might say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Meaning the solar angel, why hast thou forsaken me at the loss of the causal body when the angel of the presence as the solar angel withdraws to the probably the heart of the sun. Okay, friends. Well, anyway, there's more to do, but we have reached the point where we want to say that this is the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 78. Number 78, yeah. And, my keyboard has just switched back to English, British English. Okay. And this is page whatever. Here we go again. Page 599. So I think we are, okay, 599. And I'll go back up to see where we really left off. My memory should hold this, but it doesn't always. 597. So 597 till more or less the end of 599. And we'll mention that here. Sorry. I know you're not learning anything from this, except how better to organize things than I have done. So, right, here's 597 to 599, 597, 599, and the day is still the 26th of February, 17, and we have the beginning of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 79, and we will begin with pages 599. We're almost to page 600. All right, friends, that's going to be it for the moment. The sun has set, and we're, you know, I'm in the middle of the Temple of Silence on a trampoline. What can I say? We'll see if it helps. Thank you for being here, and we will proceed with this interesting and advanced study, the whole of which we cannot be expected to assimilate or understand, but part of which we might, and these words will be lodged in our causal body, as D.K. told one of his disciples, the words of many books are in your causal body. Try to do something with them. Try to bring them out. Try to say something with them. Use them in service. And I trust that all of us reading Master D.K. will use what we have learned in the kind of service we are attempting to perform. So, we'll see you a little later, and thank you for being here. Bye-bye.